You're listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of ST Times. And now, here's Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of ST Times.
Yes, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the ST Times What the Dev podcast. Today we're going to be talking about an interesting notion, which is the creation of a specific programming language for the cloud. With me today is Shai Behr. He's the co-founder and chief operating officer at a company called Wing.Cloud. Shai, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, David. Very happy to be here.
Great. Happy to have you. So one of the things that I know you guys are talking about is the creation of a programming language specifically for the cloud. And my first question, of course, would be, you know, why is that something that's needed today? You know, what are some of the benefits and what are we missing today by not having a specific programming language? So maybe you can talk about that.
Sure. So first of all, it's fun. But apart from that, we feel that the cloud is this new distributed computer that has a lot of different services in it. And traditional programming languages are not built to target this this new computer. They target single machines, and they're used to telling a single machine what to do in a sequence. Whereas the cloud is a multitude of machines, and we feel that traditional computers required an evolution of a programming model and programming languages to take advantage of their traits. We also need to do the same for the cloud, and so we set about to build a new programming language that treats the entire cloud as the computer, and treats the cloud services as first class citizens of the programming language, and allows developers to work at a higher level of abstraction against this computer. Mm-hmm.
So what would the characteristics of a language like that be?
So the first characteristic would be that it has cloud primitives or cloud services as first class citizens. So for instance, in a traditional programming language, you have a file system and you can read and write files into the file system. In the cloud, you have cloud storage, storage buckets. And today, if you want to use a storage bucket in the cloud with a traditional programming language, you need to use the SDK for a specific cloud provider, and then learn how to work with it. It's kind of like in the old days that we needed to write code that's specific to one type of computer and file system. But then we have more modern programming languages today that just have this abstract notion of a file system, and you can read and write files and list files and do whatever. So that's one trait, which is to just get all these different cloud services to be accessible to developers at a higher level. Another trait is to model this notion that cloud systems have two phases of execution. So you have a provisioning execution phase, what we call in Wing pre-flight, where you set up the infrastructure of your application. And then you have the runtime phase, which we call in-flight, which is when the business logic code actually runs. And in Wing, we unify both of these phases into a single programming model. And the idea there is that when you have a single compiler that sees both and allows them to communicate with each other, you can delegate a lot of cloud complexity to the compiler. So I'd give a concrete example. If I have this storage bucket and I have either a Lambda function or some container that wants to write something to that bucket, today with traditional languages, I need to provision the bucket, I need to provision the function, and then I need to set up the network topology so they can communicate. I need to add IAM permissions, security permissions, so the function has permission to write into the bucket. With Wing, I just declare that I want a bucket and that I want a function. And I can write code in the function that actually accesses the bucket naturally, like I would access a file system in traditional programming language. And then the compiler basically can understand my intent and it can generate least privilege IAM policy based on that intent. It understands that the function writes to the bucket, so it gives the necessary IAM permissions. It generates the network topology. It does all the necessary cloud mechanics so that everything just works, and I'm able to interface with it in a higher level of abstraction.
And I'm sure this provides a lot of organization to use multiple clouds and have different services running in different kinds, some in AWS, some in Azure or whatever. This probably would help to eliminate some of the friction of some of the problems of moving from cloud to cloud.
Yeah, exactly. So working at a high level of abstraction allows you to basically compile your code to different platforms and delay the decision about the platform. And it's a very powerful tool, not just to be cloud agnostic or cloud portable, but it's also a powerful tool that helps in the day-to-day development experience, because we also have a local cloud simulator. And that's just another target for compilation. So you can work against this local simulator and you can get instant feedback for your code. And you can also push tests left and earlier. So you can write tests that run against this simulator and verify entire cloud systems. And then you can use the same tests and compile them to the cloud and run them on the cloud. And you can then compile that application to different clouds or different platforms, even inside the same cloud.
Mm-hmm. Boy, listening to this, it sounds like there could be a really good opportunity here to build in either natural language or ChatGPT to kind of just tell the computer exactly what or tell the platform to tell the cloud exactly what you want to do.
I've actually written a blog post about it, but okay. I think that developers use LLMs to generate code more and more. Mm-hmm. But if you use LLMs to generate code with traditional programming languages today, what you end up with is you end up with a bunch of infrastructure definitions and some runtime code. And this code is probably, for a developer, it's not something that the developer can maintain. Like, all right, I have this code, but now I need to understand it. I need to maintain it. I need to test it and verify it. With Wing, what you get is a lot less code, and that code is much more understandable to the developer. Mm-hmm. And also because you can use the local simulator, you can also test it instantly and provide the AI with feedback, what's working, what's not working, and you can iterate way, way, way faster. You're not constrained by the time it takes to deploy to the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So tell me a little bit about how Wing.cloud came to be, and a little bit of your background and the other founders, and how you arrived at finding this need.
Sure. So basically, Wing's story is Elad's story, my co-founder and the CEO of Wing Cloud. Elad and I met at Microsoft 17 years ago, apparently. And we were both software engineers. We stayed there for 5 years and then left around the same time. Each went his separate way. I went more on an entrepreneurial path, and Elad was an advisor in my startup, actually. And then I was an investor and then came back to the game. Elad, after a brief nomadic period, he found himself in Amazon on the drones team, but then moved to the Amazon.com search team. And in that team, it was like 8 years ago. I hope I'm correct with the timeline, maybe a bit more. So he found himself building very big cloud systems that are very heavy on infrastructure. And he felt like he doesn't really have the right tools at his disposal to generate this infrastructure. And he realized that we have programming languages and they're a perfect fit to kind of describe complex system and to build them. And so he set about to build this internal tool inside for the search team to use to build infrastructure. And then it was a big success, and he showed it to other groups in Amazon, and AWS picked it up. Gave Elad developers and resources, and so we built the AWS CDK, which I guess most people are familiar with it, but for those who are not, it's an open source infrastructure as code tool. It's Amazon's largest open source project, and it's a very successful tool. And so Elad has been building it for about 6 years. And a year and a half ago, or almost two years ago, he came to the realization that, wow, he succeeded in building this thing and really helping companies and DevOps engineers mainly to define infrastructure in a developer-friendly way. But there's still a lot of pain for actual application developers, because the application developers, they either need to become DevOps engineers to work well in the cloud, because the CDK is still not an abstraction above the cloud. It's a better interface to the cloud services, but you still need to configure it at a very low level. And so either you, as a developer, you need to get acquainted with all of those layers of the stack, or you need to depend on DevOps engineers. And then you have a lot of friction there and a lot of frustration from both sides. And so he figured out that the reason, the root cause for all this is what we talked about before, is that the cloud is this new kind of computer, and we lack the basic tool for the job, which is a programming model or a language to help developers really tap into that machine and work at a higher level. So he set about to build this programming language, raise money for it, build a team. I joined, we built a team, and here we are.
And there you are. Exactly. Very good. All right. Shai Bar, co-founder and COO of Wing.cloud. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. We're going to keep an eye on this, and I'm sure people are going to want to check it out. So I guess they could go to the website to learn more and see what's that, right? It's Wing.cloud is the website, right?
Yeah, it's the website. Yeah, we have two websites, actually. We have wing.cloud for the commercial offering that we're now developing, and we have winglang.io for the programming language.
Winglang.io, great. All right. Well, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Great talking to you. And to our listeners, thanks again for tuning in as always. I'm Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of SD Times. So long for now.